Mr. Aaron Schaefer. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Very good.
Good. We can start in James chapter 1. And this was kind of something that I had to know before I left. I called Jim a few times in the past and told him, like, what the heck is going on here? Because, you know, I started seeing something, especially after we had kids and we, you know, started having a lot more responsibility, was that there's a lot of stuff that comes up in life. And a lot of it's really challenging. And a lot of it's difficult. And Julie, I taught some of this when I was in Texas. And I know you heard this. But and Jim told me, well, you know, it's God, you know, he's trying to make you into a man, you know. He said something along those lines, and I went, it's tough. But, you know, it's a pattern throughout the Word of how God works through these circumstances and how God trains us. And it's really a privilege to be trained by God and to be brought up into becoming a believer. And in James chapter 1, so this is some stuff I had on my heart before I came out here, because I really needed to know. Because, you know, I'm leaving my family, my parents, everything, and I'm like, God, I got to know how to walk with you. Because I knew stuff was going to come up. I really have to know how to walk with you. And he really just started showing me through the Word. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. And I thought this was a cool verse, because that word fall, it's used once of Paul's ship when it got wrecked. The ship fell onto the land. Now, was it somebody's fault, really? It's something that just happened, you know. We fall into these things. So I could kind of look around and go, okay, maybe I'm not screwing up so bad. Maybe this is just the world we live in. This is a dark world, you know. It's got rulers and principalities and powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world. And, you know, we're going to fall into diverse men, different temptations or trials. But know this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith works patience. And that trying is that, like that of gold, you know, the purifying or the refining of your faith, the refining of it, making it better. The trying of your faith works patience. And we're going to look at this patience here in a little while and elsewhere. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, this thing is going to make you perfect and entire. You're not going to be lacking anything. This is going to make us better, the trials and the patience it works. It's going to make us better. And there's a really cool section we're going to look at that kind of, this is the overview of it, okay? So that we face trials, we face these things, and it tries us and makes us patient and it equips us to deal with things. That's kind of what God says it does. And he really showed me through this next section of Colossians we're going to look at as to how he does it. And because I'd read this before and I go, my brethren, count it all joy. I'm like, no. Like, how am I supposed to count that joy? Like, you know, and I could if I was probably, like, had more childlike faith. Like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is going to work better. But I needed to know more for myself. I needed to know how this whole thing worked. So we can go to Colossians 1. And this is the prayer in here, and it is, you know, God's will for our lives. And this is what he desires. And it starts in verse 9. He says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." And I remember I was sitting in a deer stand, actually, and I read this. And this was just, I've been texting Kelly that morning going, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I'll be good enough for you. You know, for you and for everybody when I'm out there. She's texting me verses back, and I was just praying to God and reading through my Bible phone. And I started, you know, God just really started encouraging me. I was getting really blessed. And then I was reading through here, and then he just showed me that. So they ceased not to pray for them, that to desire that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to confront things. I need to know how to handle it. God wants me to be filled with the knowledge of his will for it. And I went, okay. Thank you, God. You're going to show me your will in the situation. And that's a great promise to know. I'm confronted. I'm in the situation. God will reveal his will. Now, whether or not he shows it like he did to me through reading the word, or whether or not, you know, he reveals it through the spirit of a word of knowledge or word of wisdom, it doesn't matter. It says he will reveal his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and all the other translations say in the spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I thought, you know, because that's the world we live in. It's spiritual principalities and powers that are bringing things up, doing this show to try to bring us from God, take our focus off of him and his, you know, what he can provide and his power and what his promises of, you know, our lives, to our lives should be. So he'll fill us with the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding of the situation at hand. We'll know what's going on. God doesn't want us stupid about when we're there, and we can, and, you know, it's like, oh, I started feeling like this burden, like, oh man, I can really trust you. I know you're going to show me this stuff when I'm facing this. You know, I'm not going to be around mom and dad to like kind of comfort in. I can just go to you and comfort in you because you're the big dad. You're the better dad. And then verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And I thought, you know, we are worthy of the Lord, but this helps us to walk worthy. To walk that life that he wants us to walk in, that will. You know, he's going to help us to walk there unto all pleasing. And I thought, you know, he's going to give us his will so that we know what to do, the spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we can walk worthy to him and to pleasing to him. And I thought, well, you know, God doesn't have a big ego about, you know, whether or not we're walking pleasing to him. That's pleasing to him to see us walk in his will, because his will is that more than abundant life for us. That's what really pleases him. That's where he gets off on, you know. That's what's so great to him, is to see his children prosper and be in health and to live that life. And being fruitful in every good work. So we're fruitful. You know, he doesn't want us to not. He wants us to be more than conquerors. And increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it just builds upon itself. You know, these things build upon it. And then here was one that kind of threw me for a loop when I read it. Because, you know, I just didn't understand it quite until I really started looking at it. Then he says, he strengthens with all might according to his glorious power. He's going to strengthen you with all of his might according to his glorious power. And when you read what's next, it's almost kind of a letdown at first. Like, to patience, really? Like, you would think all of his might and all of his power, you know, you'd be like really walking across the water, you know, you wouldn't. You know, you'd be transported from here to there. Everybody that walked in your shadow would be healed. You know, they could take a handkerchief and whatever, you know. But it's not what it says. Strengthen with all his might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. And then you got to wonder, why do you want us to be that patient? But then when you look at the reality of how life goes, right? And how God, this is how he works. He shows us his will in the midst of the situation. He shows us the spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we can see that we can be fruitful if we follow his will. But does the situation always resolve like this? A lot of times, you know, I kind of consider God like the last minute guy, you know. He likes to wait. He likes it when you're pinned down between two mountains and you only have a river or a Red Sea. You got nowhere to go. And then he opens it, you know. But he strengthens you with all of his might and all according to his glorious power to be patient and to have that long suffering throughout. So you know the will of God. You know what his word says. You know what he may have, you know, told you or revealed to you. And then it's just a matter of sitting there and you know, it's like, okay. And he'll strengthen you to be patient. And that's a tough thing, but he says it can strengthen you. And that's why he gives you all of his might and according to his glorious power. Or all his power according to his glorious might, whatever it says. But it takes that, right? In the midst of the situation, doesn't it take God just to strengthen you to endure, to get to see the will of his will done? It's not so easy sometimes. But he strengthens you with his might to be patient and to long-suffering with joy. Let's go to, where was I going? Going to Isaiah chapter 40. And this verse came to mind, and then when I really started looking at it, it was really cool. And another thing that came to mind, a lot of different records in the Bible came to mind. But one in particular, and I ended up, after I started learning all this stuff, I ended up writing a song about it. But,
Chapter
40.
40?
40. Isaiah chapter 40. Because something struck me was that throughout the Old Testament, God delivered in so many crazy ways. He delivered his people. There was no way you could predict, and still no way you're going to predict how God's going to deliver you out of the situation. But he had a million ways to be able to deliver people. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there in the room with Nebuchadnezzar, and he still wouldn't bow. He heated the fire 7 times hotter, killed the 2 guys that tried to throw him in there. But they didn't get, God didn't cause bees to chase them all. He didn't cause them to go mad and kill all each other and then deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't, you know, all these vast ways that he's delivered people, he didn't do that. And they ended up going into the fire. And then I'm thinking, good. Why'd they end up in the fire, you know? But that was, God delivered them, but that was last minute too. But, you know, God, his love was there, his provision was there, everything was there, but they ended up in the fire. So I think of strengthened with all of his might according to his glorious power unto patience. That's pretty strengthened. They ended up in the fire. So, chapter 40, verse 31. And it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. you know, waiting on God, knowing His will, and just being patient to wait on Him. It says, they shall renew their strength. And Amplified Bible translates it, they shall change their strength. Bollinger says, I think he says exchange. And New American Standard says gain new strength. And I thought, you know, the waiting on God, the seeing Him deliver, coming through the situation, those that wait gain new strength. You get stronger. And that's why in James it says, count it all joy. You know, He's training us. He's grooming us. He's making us greater believers, bigger believers. This is what He does. And this is one of the methods He uses to do these things. And it kind of comforted me, because I went, I can just relax. I can know You'll show me Your will. That's a promise. So I'm not going to worry about if I don't know it right now. You strengthen me with being patient too. And then once I do, I'm not going to worry about seeing the result. I'm going to, you know, go to Him for the strength, to be patient, to wait, so that I can see the result. You know, so that I don't bow to this fire. You know, I'm not going to bow to this one. I'm going to sit here, and God's going to keep me strong, so that if I end up in the fire, I still know He'll deliver me. You know, but then those that wait gain new strength. You keep getting stronger. And it's not God putting you in the situation. That was another thing I was going to read in James, but I think we all know the verse. It's in chapter 1. That, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. It's not God tempting. It's just the world we live in. But then He uses that against the devil. The devil's trying to bring us down and away from God. He uses what he does to make us stronger and crush him more. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Coming out of the fire, do you think they were weary? You think they got faint? Or you think they were pretty pumped? They're maybe just a little bit excited, but that had just gone down. And you know, the other thing I thought about those guys is they were just men. Do you think they could have had thought of condemnation, or I'm not worthy for this, or something? You know, do you think that stuff went through their mind too? I think so. Like, maybe I screwed up, and I'm not about, you know, maybe I'm not going to get this. You know, I'm sure those thoughts went through their mind too. And we have a greater grace time, you know, so we can just really fall on God. We can really lean and trust on Him and His deliverance. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. It's like, all right, here's another one. Here we go again. Let's rock and roll. We're glorying in this. Knowing that tribulation works patience. More patience. We get to be more patient. Yay. And patience, the experience. We saw it happen. Yay, God delivered. We got the experience of another great testimony, another great time in our life to see God deliver. Now we got more. We're gain new strength. We got the experience. This is awesome. We can be more patient next time because we have more ability, more experience in trusting God and seeing Him deliver. And experience hope. It just creates a great hope in our life, not only for the Lord returning, but hope in all these situations. You know, there's a great hope because we know that what God provides is above all we could ever ask or think. You know, so when we're in the midst of the situation, we're going, man, what's God going to do here? This is going to be awesome. And hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You know, you go through, you see the results, you see God provide, you see God take care of you, and you just are in such of a trust and reliance with Him, and such of a thankfulness and a gratitude. The love of God just, man, it just floods you. It's just, oh man, what a relationship, what a God, what a time I can have. And Psalms 27. Jim read this last weekend. I thought it was really cool because David faced a lot. Oh, and you know that word in James chapter 1 about kind of all joy when we fall into many temptations. Jesus Christ fell into temptations. He even says at the Last Supper, I think it's in Luke, that he tells all the guys, and it's the same exact word. He says, you guys were with me through all of my temptations. And it's trials. You know, it's not something that's unique to us. You know, God worked with Jesus Christ in the same fashion. But he went through. So you don't have to feel bad if you're facing stuff. I mean, it's just the way it is. And this is, you know, one part of how God trains us up. So David faced a lot. We saw that through his life. But he had a great way about him too. The Lord is my light, verse 1. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Then though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, he was facing things all the time. He was surrounded with trials, so you could say, or just things that were, you know, very difficult circumstances. He was surrounded by this all the time, and he just constantly looked to God to seek His will, looked to God to spend time with Him, looked to God. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. He just went to God in the midst of all these situations. He constantly went to God. And that's, you know, what we got to do. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. He always causes us to triumph, right? There will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. That's a great prayer in the midst of it. Hear me, answer me, you know. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I've said, and I was reading that, and I was like, man, I can relate to that, because I've been like, okay, this is tough. This is intense here. Don't leave me, God. stick with me, man. You gotta stick with me. Stick with me. Don't forsake me, O God of my salvation. Verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That's what he promises us he's going to do. He's going to teach us his way, his will, spiritual wisdom, understanding. Because of mine enemies, we got to have it. You know, we have to have it. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Did he have a lot of experience in seeing God deliver? He had great hope too. He had fainted unless he had believed that he would see that goodness in the land of the living. 14, wait on the Lord. Just wait on him. He might be encompassed round about with his enemy. Be waiting on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, that's what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. And I am thankful to be here with you guys. I really am. And Kelly and I and the girls are real blessed to be a part with all this stuff, and to meet all you guys and be able to look forward to spending a lot of time with you. So, God bless you.
Thank you.